As your friend, can I encourage you, the next time you give $1 million or a dollar, ask yourself the simple question, as Jesus talked about, did you give this for my name's sake or not? So you got to give it for the things that make a difference in heaven, and you got to do things that heaven celebrates.
We will hear the rest of this final portion of Bruce Wilkinson's admonition to do business exponentially on this episode of FCCI's Pathway to Purpose podcast. And as I'd like to remind you, our listeners, our goal through this podcast is to encourage and inspire Christian business owners and entrepreneurs, folks just like yourself. And we do that with great content that we've captured through the years at FCCI events and conferences, and then bringing guests into the conversation to discuss that content and hear all that God is accomplishing in and through them for His kingdom purposes. And on this episode, I am welcoming Ron Henry from Franklin, Tennessee, and Cornelius Williams, Corn, from Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks to both of you guys for being on this episode.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, Corn, we've been on a journey for a little while now together, for several months, I guess it's been, with a group that meets on Zoom, but based out of the Atlanta area. And I'd love to for you just to share ways that you're investing into the next generation, because I know you're just pouring into great leaders that are growing and learning, and to share the opportunities that God's placed in your path.
Well, thank you, Ken. Glad to be here. One of the things that I should like to begin by saying is I was introduced to FCCI through my friend David Harper years ago, and he was really instrumental in me even embracing the idea that business could be used to expand kingdom. Now, there's ministry and then there's business, but he really was, for me, an example of bringing the two together. So I'm grateful to be here, grateful for Thursday mornings, love those times. So one of the ways I do that is, as I've thought, like, about 100 years from now, what could I leave? And I think godly business owners is a wonderful legacy that I would like to leave behind. And so, through my platform, the Resurgence Leadership Foundation, I'm investing in leaders through cohorts, people who are running organizations that are developing leaders, coming alongside them, coming up with business models, thinking through leadership development plans, really musing like David did for me, these idea of business principles, which are not evil. They're actually good and biblical. And then using those in ministry spaces. So just do that. A lot of leaders, a lot of the places. Even today, Ken, I thought about our group. I was meeting with a leader, and there's this nudge on him to start an LLC. And I said, hey, let's follow up. Let's have a conversation, because I do think it is a way for you to begin to live out what God has called you to do on the earth. So it's just a joy to be available to people, as Ron said to me earlier, and just walk with them. So love doing it, and just glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Corin. I'm looking forward to digging into this conversation from Bruce Wilkinson here in a little bit. But Ron, I don't even know where to begin. Ron, wow. You've been influencing kingdom leaders for many years, and you've been a member of FCCI for decades, which I know is hard to believe, since, like Corin and myself, you can't be a day over 45 years old.
I know.
So, right? So maybe just share with our audience about your calling and how God has been just guiding you on this incredible journey.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I mean, I guess the best way to paint the picture is I've always had a position of passion for people. And so anything I've ever done vocationally has been in the people business, to encourage and equip them to be all that God created them to be. Yeah. And coming to the Lord a little later in life, and being an entrepreneur, always starting something new, I had started a business, and I started wondering this question: how do you integrate faith and work? And this was back in the mid-90s. And I was sort of radical, because, and so I kept asking the question. Someone said, it's this organization called FCCI. So I just happened, with God, everything just happens. And went into a group of 300 men and women who were asking the same question. And that was back in the later 90s. So I've been part of an FCCI Christian business owner group for over 23 years. Wow. And it has truly transformed my life, as the vision is transforming through Christ. one business owner at a time. My heart has been transformed. My whole life has been transformed. My marriage has been transformed. Everything through being in a community of like-minded people who are just living life on life. I mean, I think that's what discipleship is, I believe. So it's my pleasure to share here. I have been blessed by hearing some of the teachings of the past of Dr. Wilkinson. So I look forward to unpacking this particular segment with you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. As Ron and I were chatting earlier, there's a good chance he was likely in the room when this was being presented. And so just great to be able to talk about these wonderful truths. And as a listener today, you might be feeling like God is asking just way too much of you at this stage of your life. I know Ron and Korn, I'm sure, have been in those places in their life where it's like, oh my goodness, God, what is it you're asking me to do? You may be overwhelmed, and maybe you don't even know what God is asking at all. Like, there's just a lot of confusion. What does God want me to do in my life? Well, I think Bruce Wilkinson is going to provide some great encouragement and help us understand kind of the ultimate responsibility that we have, and to do things that heaven really celebrates. And we're going to talk about that. So enjoy this final segment of Do Business Exponentially from Bruce Wilkinson.
I remember one of my friends in Atlanta called one day, and he said, "Hey, Bruce, I just gave the university $1 million. I said, "Congratulations. What do you think about that?" "I think that it's your money. You can do with it whatever you want." "Yeah, but what do you really think about it?" "Why are you asking me that question?" "Because I just want to know. Should I tell you the truth or lie to you?" We're friends, so he knew I was pulling his leg a little bit. He said, "No, tell me." I said, "Okay. If you were Jesus, and you saw you, and I know you, you love God, and you gave some of your money to the university, here's a question that Jesus might want to ask you. Does that school honor him? Or does that school tear down the faith of everything attached to being a Christian? Do they mock the Bible? Do they attack Christians for taking a stand? Do they outlaw posting up the Ten Commandments now?" "Yeah, they do all those things." "Well, if you were Jesus, would you reward the guy for doing that?" "Whoa, never thought of that." I said, "You know, it doesn't make any difference to me because I'm your friend. I don't care. You know, we'll be friends forever. You can't do anything to stop me from being your friend. But as your friend, can I encourage you, the next time you give $1 million or a dollar, ask yourself the simple question, as Jesus talked about, did you give this for my name's sake or not? So you got to give it for the things that make a difference in heaven, and you got to do things that heaven celebrates. It celebrates. Christ reveals his bestowal of rewards occurs at the second coming. This making sense this afternoon?
Yes.
Number 7, I want you to sit back in your seat just for a minute. This is going to come as a shock. Point number 7, look at Revelation chapter 3. This is in a letter to the church. This is to the church. This is not to Israel, it's to the church. "To him," said Jesus, "who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne." Do you understand exactly what Jesus just said? Jesus said this: "I was sent on a mission to earth to achieve exactly what the Father wanted. It wasn't what I wanted. And because I overcame all the opposition that was there, when I came back into heaven, the Father said to me, sit with me on my throne." But Jesus says, "I have my own throne now. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, Jesus' throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you understand Jesus is revealing he has a throne? And to those believers who overcome and achieve the difficult things that he has called you and me to do, and are 10 Mina and 100 Mina, men and women of God, he's going to say, maybe to you, oh, well done, man. That was, what a life you live for me. You put it all out there for me. I knocked you down quite a few times, put more humility in you, but you kept getting up, which is what I wanted you to do. And when the enemy came as a flood against you, you prayed to me and I was able to intervene for you. You overcame for me and all this fruit you got for me. Come, sit with me on my throne. The lady came to me one time and she said, I don't want to rule anything. I want to just sit, be near Jesus. I said, ma'am, if you knew your Bible, you know the people that are nearest Jesus are the people that are ruling with him. And rulership is earned. It shall be worth it all. The other verse, as we fill out the last point. And he overcomes, said Jesus, in Revelation chapter 2 this time, and keeps my works until the end. To him I will give the power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. I believe some of the most productive men and women I've ever met in my entire life from around the world are in this room. I do believe that. And I believe when Christ sees you, he's going to get up off of his throne like he did when Stephen was being stoned. He got up off his throne and watched. He was so involved with that. I think when Jesus sees some of you, I think he's going to get off his throne. And I think he's going to run to you. I think he's going to throw his arms around you. Burst your heart open with his love for you. And say those words, those most precious words. Well done. Oh, what a life you live for me, by my Spirit, for my glory. But you ran the race. You kept running the race. You didn't quit. If you fell down, you got back up again. You kept at it. You kept sacrificing. You kept discipling. You kept doing it. So if you're in need to make this a new beginning tonight, right here, you just sense it in you. Oh, man, I got wayside a little bit. And you just need to get back on your running track again. Would you just stand up if you need that? Let me pray for you wherever you may be, across the room. And the fill-in later on is his throne, as you thought. Having ministered for so many years, I know in this last minute, there's a couple people that are fighting. And I know that. I know how that is. There's one that just stood. Come on, overcome. Whatever price he's asking you, it's little. Anybody else? Let's pray together. Almighty God in heaven, we want our entrance into heaven to be filled of your voice saying to us, ah, well done. Therefore, let us do more for you, O God. Please bless us more. Please extend our ministry, our business. Give us a larger platform, O God. Give us boldness as we're filled with your Spirit. Put your hand of supernatural power upon us, O God, and keep us from evil, keep us from temptation, keep us from hurting other people. And now we call upon you to bless every person, Father Heaven, that's standing and some that are wishing they could have gotten up. Lord, cause us again to run with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength, all of our soul, because we love you with everything in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, as Bruce Wilkinson had shared today, there's just such an incredible opportunity for us to live into what Jesus is going to provide for us in eternity. And to even now be considering what is it that God intends, and the incredible, incredible experience that we get to have for eternity with our Savior, to be in his presence. And I love that Bruce is pointing to all of that, saying what we're doing now, it does matter, but it matters in the context of what does Jesus intend to bless us with, for us to be a part of. I mean, when we start to think about being invited to sit on his throne, oh my goodness, what a joy to consider that. Yes. We get that privilege, that he's going to bless us with that. And yet, yes, right now, we're called into something and bear a responsibility for his kingdom work. So I wanted to just touch back to some of what was shared last week on our podcast, where Bruce had begun to list out some of these principles coming out of this parable of the minas. And he mentioned principle number one, that God expects overwhelming productivity. And I think we might want to, you know, I know Ron from time to time will remind me, hey, let's define terms. Let's make sure we're clear on terms. So even with productivity, Ron, what do you, as you hear that term, how would you think and define, maybe when we say over, God expects overwhelming productivity, what are we talking about there? What are your thoughts on even how we describe that?
That's a little tough one to me. I tie a little bit back into the God expects us to be faithfully obedient.
Amen.
And as a result, if we're obedient, we will be in the world's eyes overwhelmingly productive. But I don't think he expects that, but I don't believe that's our goal. Our goal individually is to be obedient.
Amen.
And the result of that will be overwhelming productivity, measured by God as overwhelming productivity, not by man.
Amen. I love that. Yes.
Okay. So that to me is a clear thing that I think on the principle of the point number one.
Yeah.
No, but it is a choice. It is a choice. So that's the that's the thing about it. When God invites us,
obedience. Yeah.
Yep.
We can choose to accept it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we live into that obedience, then, as you said, the productivity comes, but it's maybe not even how we would measure productivity. And I appreciate you pointing that out, because the way Jesus sees productivity, the way that God's measuring it, I think sometimes we can't even get our heads around how do we actually measure that? Well, because it's an eternal perspective that we really...
Yeah. I mean, think about this, Ken, like that same thing. It hit me as Corn and I were having a little laughter about being the sage season, which is the most powerful season of a person's life. It's the opportunity that God gives us to utilize everything he's given us in terms of experiences, relationships, and breathe it into the next generations. I mean, how good can it get? And I don't have to worry about payroll on Friday because I don't have anybody to manage. But the interesting thing about that, you just hit that, Ken, I think is so right. We measure productivity in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
God measures. I mean, you know, I'm in a season now where people go, well, you retired, you do this, that. And I'm going, no, I'm alive. I'm not dead. And so the question is, and I started thinking about people, don't you want to do this before you die? And this, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. My life's not over when I leave this earth.
Right. Yeah, that's amen. Right.
My bucket list is so huge that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to do everything.
There you go.
So why should I do anything other than work and finish strong?
Mm.
with the mindset of overwhelming productivity. Be productive with what he has given me.
Yeah. Yep. And that ties into the point number two that Bruce had delivered, in the sense that we have this responsibility, the results lie on our shoulders, but we've got to keep that in the context of John 15, as he described, I chose you to bear much fruit. And in that whole context, it's all about abiding in him. I mean, our responsibility is to choose to abide in him. And guess what? We're going to bear much fruit if we do that, right? I mean, that's where the fruit's going to come from. So, all right. And then point number three, may Christ rewards followers upon productivity, not activity. So again, he's saying, it's productivity, but it's productivity that comes out of that abiding in Christ. And so, there is activity there, and we're going to see there's going to be productive fruit and coming from that as we abide. And the point four he made, Christ clarifies that he's not just concerned about quality, but quantity, and God is glorified by quantity. And I think even there, maybe let's sit on that for just a minute. I mean, what do you guys think he means by quantity? How do we actually define that term in this context? What are we looking at there?
You know, I say this is tricky because, you know, as business owners, and we're looking at our KPIs, and so there is a temptation, like how much revenue,
right?
Or how many services have we provided? How many things have we built? And so we do evaluate it sometimes on our outcomes, our outputs. And so I do think that Ron said this earlier. There's a couple ways we should look at that, and not to suggest that we shouldn't look at revenue or outputs or things we services or product, but also in the way we are people. Ron said he's a people person, and he's been focusing on that. And so I think it's imperative that we look at how are we bearing fruit? How productive are we in our dealings with the people that are working with us? How productive are we in the way we treat our customers? How are we productive in the way we're engaging with our suppliers and our other vendors? And so while there are some bottom lines that we may look at on our P&Ls, we need to, I think the Lord is also looking at how we treated people.
Yeah.
And we need to attend to that equally as much as we do some other things. And I know that's can be attention. I don't want to presume that I'm doing that great every day, but at least I'm reminded as I abide. And then, you know, you read farther on in John, well, how am I loving Ron? How am I loving Ken? Mm-hmm. How did I treat my customer, my vendor, my employee? All of that is a production too. So,
And it measures down to me that I use this phrase often. What is your motive? Mm-hmm. What's your motive?
Yeah.
Is it to serve myself or serve other people? And that's something I've had the last few years really became hard for, you know, not hard for me, but this really became a reality as I started understanding what it meant that I surrendered at the cross. If I surrendered myself, how can my motive be for myself? Mm-hmm. So the point is we're given, God provides this platform we call business, ministry, whatever you want to call it. It's organizational platform. He provided for us. We didn't create it. He created it, and he's invited us to join him. Now, if we choose not to, he'll find somebody else, or he'll just do it himself. He doesn't need us. But the idea is this is an opportunity to leverage out and play out exactly what Corin was just sharing, which is the people side of it, the relational side of it, the unconditional love. What is it this is one of the things that really came about in an FCCI group, because we got a pretty not as diverse as I'd like to see most of the groups be, but we got a lot of weird people. And can you love them when they're really different from you? Mm-hmm. You know, it's that communal love. I think it's called HESED, HESED. It's the term, it's a Hebrew word, which is really what love was all described about in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's that unconditional love. Do you really have that in your heart?
The idea of trying to live into what Bruce said, you know, you guys have been at it a while. What would you say for those of us that might be just bumping into this idea for the first time? And how do we start to begin to move towards what was said by Bruce?
One small step at a time. I've heard Bruce talks, especially leading a company for Christ. I've sat in a group and we've gone through that 8-part segment. I would say I've probably done it 15, 16 times.
Mm. Wow.
And even the last time I listened, I heard something I didn't hear before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is the journey to me of our walk in our faith. When the Holy Spirit's speaking through somebody like I believe he does with Bruce and a lot of these truths, I mean, it's like reading scripture. You read it today, the same verse you read 2 years ago, and go, wait a minute, I never saw this. So it's just one small, it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. And that's the thing that's exciting. And to be able to do that journey with other people.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you concur, Ken? Is that
I would. Absolutely. And I think that's what's critical is, you know, none of us are perfect and none of us are going to achieve perfection anytime soon, right? But we're on a journey. And so it is that ability, you know, Corn, I think to your question there of just being able to be at peace and comfortable with who I am and be comfortable with I have a calling and on a daily basis, moment by moment, as Ron was just saying, you know, that's going to be revealed and I'm going to gain a deeper understanding. I mean, my goodness, I sat down and joined in the conversation with you guys today and I feel like I'm probably in a little bit better place than I was before we started this conversation, right? I'm gaining a little bit with every conversation, right? And I love that. I love that journey that God puts us on. And then when we hear someone like Bruce, we hear this incredible teaching and then we sit and we dialogue on that moves us just a little bit closer to being in that right place of understanding. And, you know, honestly, as we think about that, as we talk about the rewards and pursuit of how do we get this quantity, how do we generate and be productive? And yet to keep that in that right perspective of, are we talking about a reward that comes now? Or as Bruce clearly said, now what we're talking about, especially in this parable of the minas, this is about an eternal reward.
Yeah.
And to keep that in its right place. And even just, you know, how hard it can be at times because we're all about right now, right? And can I get it now? But that's not what Bruce is talking about, right?
Yeah. I think one of the challenges that, and I throw this out as something I've experienced a great deal. You forget how much, you forget where you came from. Mm-hmm. In other words, I mentioned I've been involved, you know, I've been blessed being actively involved with FCCI for close to 23 years and in a group. I forget what Ron Henry was all about that first few years of being in a group, you know, what naive thoughts he had, what little stuff he had. And then today I go, it's like, oh, come on, it's obvious. And I'm going, yeah, it wasn't obvious to you 20 years ago. So what are you expecting to do? You know, it's once again, I think it gets back again, and these revealed truths are so powerful, and they're transformational. I mean, I've literally seen physical transformation as these truths have hit other business owners in a group. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about physical change.
Sure.
Wow.
That's how powerful his truths are.
Yeah. And I bet that speaks, I mean, even to some degree to what, you know, as Bruce was pointing out from Revelation 3, from Revelation 2, he talked about, you know, to him who overcomes and, you know, the transformation that's involved in that overcoming. But I'd love to hear just, you know, your thoughts here on what does that mean? Like for the listener who's going, I have no clue what it means to overcome. I mean, your thoughts on how do we overcome and what are we really talking about when we talk about overcoming opposition, overcoming in order that we can sit on his throne, as he says.
I would say out of fairness to, you know, us and to those, the listeners, overcoming looks different depending on the business cycle you're in, but depending on the quarter that you're in. Because when I was first starting out, overcoming was just, I had to overcome just to keep getting up every day, you know, showing up and thinking this through. Ron, earlier you talked about the first 3 years of starting a business, and man, overcoming means just keep showing up. There's just, there's just showing up is, man, I felt like I overcome. And then you have a modicum of success. And I remember having to overcome, and I'm not proud of it, but overcoming, hey, I have my little pride and my little ego. And just, and you know how I had to overcome it? Because I was met with a challenge that brought me right back down. And so it looks so different in different moments and different seasons and iterations of the organization or business. But the one thing that I would say that was the place where I fight the most is the battle with me. It's really overcoming me. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified and I no longer live. But man, when you start something, you want to live. It's all on you. You want to take credit. And so the overcoming, and you know, as an entrepreneur and a founder, it's really, I would say a lot of it is overcoming myself.
And that you're, you're on track there, Corin, on that, because it really, if you think about it, we're sinners. So the first thing we have to overcome is our sin through repentance. I don't care. You can go all the other fancy stuff about business, this, but it starts with me and my relationship with Jesus. Am I positioned well? And do I recognize my sinfulness? Do I recognize the way my mind goes that I have to repent? You know, the pride issues, you know, I want my kids to like me a certain way. I want my community to look at me as somebody important, you know, it's like, and the sad thing is that as if you're an entrepreneur, when you're presenting a new concept, guess what? There's no audience. you're not going to get anyone going, hey, Corin, that's a great idea. I mean, really building here, because it's like, what idea is yours, Corin? So the so the idea that it this is the thing that's in my journey is the ideas I shared with my brothers here on the phone, but I recently relocated the listeners and left every connection I had. I was one of the most well-connected individuals in Southern California. Left it all, arrived in Nashville, Tennessee as a nobody. Stepped down from roles this way and that way. And I remember in a morning in prayer, this gets down to the opposition. I was sort of moaning in my prayers, you know, not knowing anybody. And the Lord spoke to me and said, am I not enough?
Wow.
Am I not enough?
Yeah.
So to me, overcoming opposition is recognizing whose we are.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, earlier, Corin had mentioned just a comment about how we have to potentially, you know, we have to wrestle with guilt and shame at times, even as we think about some of these ideas that Bruce put forward, like in Revelation 2, where he's talking about, you know, is Jesus going to get off his throne and he's going to run and embrace you? And we really have to grapple with who am I and why would Jesus do that, right?
Yeah. Yep. No, I think you're right, Ken. And I would say to anyone that's listening to this, when you hear someone like Bruce, and then I'm sitting next to Ron and Ken, unfortunately, we're evaluating ourselves up against these narratives, up against these biblical stories. And you might be listening and going, he's not going to run towards me. And because you've made it about you. And I want to say thank you, Ron, for a reminder that it's truly not about me. He runs towards me because I'm resting in him. Out of resting in him, I'm being obedient to the things he's called me to do. And so I just want to say to anyone out there that you are listening to this and you might feel like you're not where you're supposed to be, let me say this, you're right where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
You know, and that you're listening and that you can begin to, what did you say? One step at a time, one moment at a time. You know, so just be encouraged to know that He's running towards himself in you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. So, and that was part of what Bruce had said about just, you know, you kept sacrificing, you kept discipling, you kept doing it, you know, and that's that overcoming as he kind of defined it there. Yeah. Just that continual, just keep going, keep doing it one foot in front of the other, do the next right thing. Right. And just keep moving in this relationship with Christ. And that's how we truly can experience that life that he's called us into, that quite honestly does have rewards now. Doesn't compare to what we're going to receive, but it sure has rewards now, right? I mean, the blessings in this life, when we are following Christ and in him, wow, it is powerful and tangible, the difference that makes for sure. So there's no question. Yes. We do feel some blessing now, but oh my goodness, the rewards that come as we do this in the right attitude. And I appreciate the fact that we've come back to that again. So,
well, the idea of opposition too, we're in a fallen world. Yeah. If you're doing what God has invited you to do, and you don't have opposition, then you're not doing what God has invited you to do. Because why would the world want you to, I mean, think about it. What is out of the world? What is one positive, constructive, encouraging thought or word do you hear today? None, because the world's there to destroy you.
Yeah.
So that's why being in a peer group of other people who are journeying this together, you get that encouragement because it's a spirit led. But, you know, I mean, it's like someone said, well, you know, everybody says, well, I'm surprised this happened. What do you mean surprised? I mean, what world do you live in here? This is not, you don't live in a bubble. This is real life. But the idea is that we have a plan, and we have a method to overcome this opposition.
Mm-hmm. We do.
God did that at the cross for us. So we have that. So we have that hope.
Yep.
Yes, that you cannot define or do it, but we have an internal hope. I mean, I always lean on the situation going, God said, I am with you always. Mm-hmm. There's not sometimes, it's always. He is there for us. And I'm thinking, deep as it, you know, in, that doesn't mean it's going to be fun and get, you know, roses and everything, but he's there. Mm. I mean, I, you know, just like, you know, when you allow God to run his business, he's going to run it perfectly.
Yeah.
And just lead that may require you to fire half the staff.
Thank you for saying that. Cause I was just thinking, man, running business God's way does not mean your product won't have, you know, that will work all the time, or you won't have to let someone go, or issues you're going to get these huge returns. Man, you have to pay. I mean, like, that's the misnomer that I think sometimes we assume. If I run something God's way, that
it's all perfect. You know, everything's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And I love that. Because even amen. Yeah, absolutely. And this morning, Cornelius, as we were in a group together, and Corn, you pointed out Hebrews 11 this morning after I had mentioned about, I was just overwhelmed by, I was reading John 15 again this morning, and this whole abiding in the vine, and Jesus is the true vine. Yeah. And I was blown away that just before that passage and just after that passage, what is Jesus talking about? How the world hates me, how the world is going to hate you, how it's going to be tough. There's going to be all this opposition. Yeah. And that's right in the middle of that, Jesus says, abide in me and you will have much fruit. Now, he's going to prune us even in that process. It's going to hurt. There's going to be some pruning even in that process. But sure enough, the world hates me and the world is going to hate you, but abide in me and you will bear much fruit. So it just comes back to what you said, Ron. And then, like I said, Corn, you pointed out Hebrews 11 this morning. It was just so beautiful, that whole idea of what's there at the end of Hebrews 11. You mind just sharing that with us again here?
Yeah. You know, sometimes when people talk about faith, they love to talk about the front part of Hebrews 11 where, you know, the overcoming, they killed this, they destroyed that, they occupied this. And then there's the latter half. Where there's a group of people that, you know, they wandered, they were tortured, you know, it doesn't seem like the list of the top 10 people who built businesses for Jesus, right? But You know, but the thing says that even though they were experiencing all those things, they didn't stop moving towards what God had promised.
Yes.
Because the hope, to your point, Ron, was in what was eternal. And I find great solace in that. It's as an entrepreneur, when I am facing tumultuous situations, a bad quarter, a bad day, a bad encounter with an employee or staff, blah, 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 that I can rest in the fact that I'm pursuing to be more like Christ and keep running towards that and have hope in that. And that, you know what, this didn't work out. Hey, and this was a hard day, but Lord, I tried to honor you as best as I could in all that I did. And so, because I never thought about it before I heard Bruce say it. And I'm not even sure I kind of keep in mind that Jesus is going to get off the throne and let me sit on the throne, which is a wild idea, like throne sitting. Man, hey, man, Warren, there's going to be some throne sitting. What? I didn't even really, till Bruce said it, I didn't even know that was an option. So I just want to get in and be around Ron and you and others. But now I get to get on the throne because of obedience working through. So thank you.
Yeah, amen. Well, I'm also so just so blown away that in that Hebrews passage, I can't remember now if it was 11 or 12, but where it has the statement that they were too good for this world.
Yes.
And every time I read that, I just break down because I can't, you know, the thought that here these people were that were suffering so much, sawn into, tortured, as you just described. And yet the way that God describes them from his eternal perspective is they were too good for this world. Like, wow. I mean, that's incredible to be considered that way. You know, maybe, yeah, the path is going to be really hard as a business owner and it's going to be full of a lot of pain and struggle and it's not going to be easy. But that's not what defines whether or not we are, in fact, producing much fruit.
Hallelujah.
Oh, man. I mean, the fruit is not defined by is there struggle, is there pain? And, you know, Jesus is pruning. But maybe why he's pruning and maybe why it hurts is because he sees you being so productive. And we don't understand how to measure that productivity. We measure it the wrong way. And God's going, keep going, buddy. I'm going to keep pruning. Keep going because you're producing fruit and you don't really get it. But, man, the spiritual fruit is just churning out of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God, you know.
Amen.
And so to be faithful in that and know that God's measuring things his way.
There's another attitude that I've utilized, you know, remember years back, they always had those bracelets, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, 20 years ago. But I think the real question, and God spoke to me on a number of occasions on this particular situation, and that is, and even today, the work I do with people is, how does God look at your career? How is God looking at this business platform? In other words, do we take the time to perceive it through his eyes?
Good question.
In other words, versus our eyes, because our eyes are sinful and fall short. But if we look at it through his eyes, we may see something in this dynamic that we just totally missed. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings.
Amen. But
he does. Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes, like, for example, even the thought you may be overnight, you got to let someone go on a particular work situation and you're just really bothering you because, you know, he's married, he's got kids and so forth.
Yes.
But if you look at through God's eyes, he may say to you, Corn, this gentleman that's working with you is in a role that I didn't create and him for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to allow him to stay in it is a disservice to him. And I can't give him his next role until the current one's been eliminated. Mm-hmm. So even though it may be hurtful, he may not understand it, he may not like you, it's the right thing to do because you love him too much to not be the right thing.
Amen.
And I think that isn't that where we just so desperately need each other in that process of making those kinds of decisions, right? Where we can be leaning on each other and trusting each other to have great counsel and wisdom. I mean, I know that's, I have seen that over and over and over again, to be in a group situation, FCCI or any other, but in this case, an FCCI group where you're with those business leaders who can just hear you out, can help provide counsel, can speak into that situation and just give you the confidence that you need.
Yes. Right?
I mean, like you said, Ron, it's not easy. That is hard. That is the hardest thing to do.
It's so counterintuitive.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Because the reality is, and I've learned in my own experience, if I hesitate to do what he's directed me to do, he'll take care of it anyways. And then I'll have a mess to clean up after the fact. Because I didn't, versus
you thought it was hard, but it got even harder, right?
It got a lot harder, exactly. Disobedience is not necessarily a highlight of your journey.
Mm. Yeah.
Even in that, Ron, the Lord is still gracious with this.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that. Yeah. That is funny, though. That's true.
Yeah. Well, I love how that ties in. We've been doing a lot of in our study recently about servant leadership and just, when we care enough about what is best for the other person. And if we always keep that at the forefront, then those decisions about, is it time to let someone go? Are they not, this is not the best fit for them. How do I help them become the best person they can be in their walk with Christ, really, really flourish in God's calling in their life? Then, those decisions sometimes can become much more clear when we are keeping them at the forefront in that process. Well,
and segue in way back to our early conversation here where Corin made the reference of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really know your people?
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. Good question.
Do you really know their heart? And even have a conversation. Why are you here?
Hmm.
What are you passionate about? What do you enjoy doing? Maybe I can help you get there. You know, this role here is not one that's going to give you that.
Yeah.
So I care too much for you to allow you to do something that you're not happy with.
Mm.
And I went through the experience myself early on when I did that. And I kept being, I didn't read the so-called tea leaves as it was early in my journey. So the Holy Spirit and I weren't that tight at that time. And I remember staying in a role of a general manager of a company that I had finished. My job was done. I stayed in it 2 years too late.
Yep.
And meanwhile, when I look back at it, God created circumstances it got so violent. My wife wanted to take a shotgun and shoot the owner of the company. And the whole reason was I didn't recognize my assignment was over. My job was done, but I stayed in there because I was comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what I didn't mark on that also was because I didn't like what I was doing, I didn't get up in the morning anxious to get to work. I came home with a bad attitude. Yep. So how was that impacting my kids, my young kids at home?
Yeah.
How was that impacting my marriage? So if you're put in a servant leadership role over other people, I think it's imperative that we recognize some of these things and help them understand what's best for their marriage, what's best for their family.
Mm.
You know, and this job is not this is not the end of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And Ron, Ken is really good and reminded me about, if you have a smaller company, you can be more involved as the entrepreneur, founder, CEO. But, if you have a larger company, you can still be responsible to foster that culture where people. So, you can do it, depend on the size of your company will depend on what that looks like. But what's a non-negotiable as I listen to you is, I think the Lord would want us to create cultures, businesses where people are known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's no greater. People just want in this world, people want to be destroyed. And just to say that, hey, good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, right. I'm glad you're with the company.
Yeah. And that's
take
truly
that time.
Yeah. And that's obviously, as we mentioned earlier, when we focus on people and make people the center, as Ron said, it's been about people all along. We care about people. We invest in people. That's the true ministry. I mean, that's it. That's where we care for. And I loved how Bruce prayed that at the end, right? You know, as he was talking about just extending our ministry, increasing our platform, keep us from doing evil, keep us from harming others, and cause us to run with all our heart, with all our mind, soul, and strength to just chase after this calling that God's placed on our lives, and do it with His goals in mind, with His perspective in mind, as you said earlier, Ron. So, Well, my thanks to Ron and Korn for their part in this podcast episode. We'll enjoy more conversation with Christian business leaders just like you on our next episode. So be sure to let others know about the Pathway to Purpose podcast. And please do check out FCCI.org and all the ways that the Fellowship of Companies for Christ can serve you. Until next time, may God encourage your journey as you lead a company for Christ.